Hey folks, this is Carrie Arentikai reading Keep Track of Losing Days by Giraffiter, Chapter 1. So hello, this is the new Podfic Radio fic I'm doing. Podfic Radio means that I'm going to be reading this in the style of just a friend reading this to friends, which now I'm actually doing because lately we've been doing live readings in the MDCS Podfic server. If you would like to be attending these readings live, you are more than welcome to. So you can just ask me for an invite to the MDCS Podfic server or... You know, I'm going to be posting these as usual daily, so you don't have to be there live. You can just be listening along. If you do want to be getting these updates daily, you can subscribe to my RSS feed, which I will be linking in the chapter notes. What else did I want to say? Pronunciation names. I feel like I'm always working on it. I'm sure I still have ways that I'm doing it wrong. I am trying. No disrespect intended. Working on it. Okay. All right. So about this fic, I haven't read it for a really, really long time. I have read it before, but I have no recollection of anything that happened, basically. So teening up audiences, the ships are Wang Xian and Lan Xichen / Nieming Jue. Additional tags include AU Modern Setting Case Fic, AU Police, Missing Persons, Detective Lan Zhan, Antifa Wei Ying, I love this tag. I know ACAB, but go with me on this one. Team Give Lan Wengji Friends, Ye Huaisang's Never Ending Matchmaking Schemes, Jiang Wenyan Yelling a Lot, Endgame Lan Xichen / Nieming Jue, Angst with a Happy Ending, Minor Lan Huan Lan Xichen / Meng Yao, Jing Guang Yao, Seattle, Mutual Pining, Non-Fatal Car Accident, Mafia Wins, Friends to Lovers, and Guns are the tags. So this was written for Fandom Trump's Hate 2020. I will read the summary because I don't think it's a quote. So summary, Lan Wengji is a police detective who's rapidly falling in love with his Antifa activist neighbor, Wei Ying, until Wei Ying disappears. And Lan Wengji and his hot-headed partner, Nieming Jue, are assigned the missing persons case. Now Lan Wengji is in a race against time to find a man who seems to have disappeared without a trace, while trying to keep his feelings a secret from everyone around him. And maybe, if he has time, convince his brother to break up with his creepy boyfriend and date Wengji's partner instead. Wei Ying is mixed up in something dangerous. Lan Wengji is going to find him. In which Wei Ying says ACAB, and Lan Wengji is increasingly inclined to agree. I guess I should, reader's note, give, for those of you who maybe are in a non-North American context, non-Anglophone context, ACAB, ACAB is all cops are bad. Or all cops are bastards, I think, is the original one. Maybe all cops are bad is the sanitized one. Okay. There are some author's notes that I think are important. So this is author's notes, Fandom Trump's Hate 2020. Idrin requested this fic for her friend Stilty Loquentia. Stilty, I hope you like it. This fic takes place in the world of TV cops, since the world of actual American policing is far too depressing to set fanfic in. I like the idea of Antifa Wei Bishan / cops Lan Wengji as a modern analog to some of the themes in canon about whether or not systemic abuse of power can be fixed from inside the system. Also, this AU is based more on the show than on the book and takes place in pre-COVID-19 world. Like many fic writers attempting to write modern AUs in this fandom, I struggled with what to do with the names. So this fic also takes place in an AU in which modern Chinese Americans have both familiar and courtesy names. Updated 6320. To expand on my earlier point, this fic takes place in the world of TV cops because while I enjoy crime fiction as a genre, and I like the opportunity it gives me here to tell a mystery story and engage with some of the themes, some of the themes of systemic abuse of power present in CQL / MDZS canon, I acknowledge that a world in which any American cop could be considered to be a good cop, regardless of their intentions, is solely the province of fiction. For more on this, see the notes on Chapter 6. Okay. Chapter 1. Missing Person. Paperwork is the most important part of police work, as far as Lan Wengji is concerned. It isn't as exciting as being out in the field, of course, although it doesn't involve talking to anyone, which is a big point in paperwork's favor. It doesn't stimulate his mind the same way poring over evidence does, and it certainly isn't as satisfying as that moment when a case cracks wide open and he knows he'll be bringing someone to justice. Paperwork is a huge part of making sure that the criminals they apprehend actually answer for their crimes, though, and Wang Ji takes that seriously. Plus, there's something soothing about soothing. Great. There's something soothing about the meticulous collection and tracking of information, a tidiness to it that speaks to his orderly soul. He likes to get to work early and sit in the morning quiet, sipping his tea and filing his reports, so that his desk is pristine and his mind is clear and untroubled before his partner rolls in and stampedes over the rest of his day. "Of course, the second I get in the door, the captain is up my ass," Ye Mingjue rumbles around a mouthful of blueberry muffin. Slinging his motorcycle helmet under his desk, he flops heavily down into his chair, which creaks alarmingly under his muscular bulk. "I didn't even get my jacket off before he was talking in my ear." He tosses a file onto Wang Ji's immaculate desk, bypassing the in tray and by extension negating the need for an in tray. "New missing persons case. Yeah, I was being all squirrely about it." When Wang Ji passed the detective's exam, he'd been less than thrilled to be partnered with his brother's best friend from high school. He would have preferred a partner who didn't remember him as a skinny orchestra nerd with braces. He and Ye Mingjue have turned out to be a surprisingly good team, though. Wang Ji's sharp eye and meticulous nature are a good foil for Ye Mingjue's killer instincts and take-charge attitude. And it turns out that silent cop, scary cop is a decent variation of good cop, bad cop. Despite all that, Wang Ji has never been able to suppress a twinge of irritation at his partner's slovenly ways. He frowns at the offending folder. "Why?" he asks. Ye Mingjue shrugs and pops open a Red Bull. "I guess the family's raising a fuss." That probably means the family has connections. Captain Yao only goes out of his way if it means pleasing a powerful crony or two. He glances over at the captain's office door, but it's shut. He can hear Yao shouting at someone inside. There are blueberry muffin crumbs on the case folder. Sighing, Wang Ji brushes them off and flips it open. His hands go cold. The man in the picture is grinning, warm, bright eyes crinkling at the camera, one hand shoved into his messy dark hair. "The photo must be a few months old," Wang Ji thinks distantly. The last time he saw the man in this picture, his hair had been longer. The smile is the same. "Lan Zhan, are you going to arrest me?" "Ying Wuxian Wei, 28-year-old Asian male, last seen Monday afternoon at his place of work," Ye Mingjue says, "wearing," he checked his notes, "a red t-shirt advertising the band Twin Heroes and black jeans." He knows that shirt. There's a tiny hole where the collar is starting to come apart from the shoulder, and an oil stain under the N in Twin. Wang Ji isn't breathing. "Family officially reported him missing this morning. Apparently he was supposed to be at his sister's house for dinner Monday night. Never arrived. Missed work Tuesday and yesterday. They said he never called in, just didn't show. Sister called Captain Yao yesterday evening on his direct line. Wonder how she got that number," Ye Mingjue says with a flourish of his eyebrows. Wang Ji is turning to ice. He's turning to stone. Wei Ying. "Yao sent a uniform by his apartment last night to do a welfare check. Roommate stated she hadn't seen him since Monday. Sister called again this morning, insisted we open a missing persons case. So here we go. One missing person. Have fun with that." "I know him," Wang Ji says quietly. Ye Mingjue looks up in surprise. "You do?" "He lives in my building. He's..." Wang Ji swallows, his tongue feeling suddenly thick. "A friend." "Are you shitting me?" Ye Mingjue asks, which is Ye Mingjue for, "Are you okay? Do I need to tell Yao to give this to somebody else?" On the one hand, yes, probably. Wang Ji's sure that Wei Ying has a ton of people in his life who he's closer to than he is to Wang Ji, but he is one of the very few people Wang Ji would consider a close friend. It's a breach of ethics and a conflict of interests, and probably a really bad idea for Wang Ji to investigate this case. The bottomless pit of anxiety that's opened up in him at the thought of Wei Ying being missing only serves to confirm that. That's not even considering the fact that Wang Ji has romantic feelings towards Wei Ying, which he wouldn't have revealed to Nian Mingzhui or the captain under torture anyway, but certainly has the potential to cloud his judgment here. On the other hand, it's Wei Ying. Wang Ji shakes his head. No, it's fine. You sure? Why do you have to be a cop, Lan Zhan? It's fine, he says again. Like hell is anyone else investigating this case. Taking a quick reader's break for some liquids. The door to the captain's office bursts open with a bang. Captain Yao leans out, looking harried. Nye, Lan, he barks. Get in here. We need to discuss your new case. A red-faced man in Armani slacks is pacing erratically around Yao's office. Wang Ji recognizes him as Jiang Cheng Wenyin, a detective he knows by sight and slightly by reputation. His father is Jiang Fengmian of the Jiang Microsystems Jiangs. Jiang Wenyin's annual detective salary is probably less than they tip their household staff. Even if he wasn't from a prominent family, Wang Ji would still be aware of him. He's seen the man networking away at the few Asian American Police Association events Si Chen has badgered Nian Mingzhui into dragging him to, but they've never spoken. By all accounts, Detective Jiang works hard and has a decent close rate, but is known around the precinct for being kind of high-strung. A reputation which, if his current clenched jaw and flaring nostrils are any indication, is entirely deserved. Yao rubs his eyes. His toupee has taken on new levels of unconvincingness this morning. It has a sort of crispy aspect that Wang Ji knows he's going to find particularly distracting. You guys know Detective Jiang, I'm sure, he says. Wang Ji gives the detective a nod of acknowledgement. Nian Mingzhui growls and nope. Well, it's not my fault. It's grunts and scowls, so I think growls is not inappropriate here. Okay. Nian Mingzhui grunts and scowls at him. Captain, Jiang Wenyin says, in a tone of voice Wang Ji would certainly never take with a work superior. I should be the one working this case. And I've told you, Captain Yao grinds out through gritted teeth, you can't. You're too close to it. I'm including you in this conversation as a courtesy to your family, but you're not investigating this case. It doesn't make sense to put anyone else on it, Jiang snaps. What's the deal, Jiang? You know this guy or something? Nian Mingzhui asks, carefully avoiding looking at Wang Ji. You! Jiang appears to somewhat gain control of himself through sheer force of will. He's my brother, he growls. Wang Ji blinks. He'd known that Wei Ying had a brother, but not that said brother is also a cop, let alone someone Wang Ji knows. If Wei Ying is related to the Jiangs, it explains why Yao is so worked up about the case, and probably also explains how Wei Ying's sister got the captain's private work number, which would have only required calling in a favor or two. Small potatoes for a family like the Jiangs. Nian Mingzhui regards Jiang skeptically. Wei Ying Buxian? Different family name? Jiang rolls his eyes. My family adopted him after his parents died. He turns back to the captain. Look, I appreciate you taking this seriously, but my sister is overreacting. She has a tendency to indulge him. Maybe Shen is probably just on a bender somewhere or shacked up with a girlfriend or something. A part of Wang Ji sits up in indignant protest at shacked up with a girlfriend. He dismisses it, impatient with himself. So what if Wei Ying is off with some girl? At least that would mean he's okay. He'll probably turn up on his own in a day or two, Jiang Wenyin continues. And if not, I'm perfectly capable of tracking him down myself. He sighs heavily. My brother does shit like this. He's crazy and selfish, and he doesn't give a shit. He's always pulling some stunt and leaving the rest of us to clean it up. I'm sorry you're having to deal with it. This is so wildly out of sync with what Wang Ji knows about Wei Ying that it's as though Jiang is talking about another person entirely. He takes in Jiang's perfectly tailored indigo silk shirt, his subtly expensive wool slacks, his designer shoes. Everything about the man is tastefully broadcasting extreme wealth. It's the kind of thing Wang Ji is good at recognizing, having grown up around it. He thinks of Wei Ying's threadbare t-shirts, the holes and patches in his jeans that are definitely there from wear and not fashion, the duct tape on his sneakers. Brothers they might be, but Wang Ji is guessing there's a lot more to that story, and none of it is making him favorably inclined towards Jiang's easy dismissal of Wei Ying's disappearance. Captain Yao is shaking his head. Maybe you're right. Hell, probably you're right. But your sister filed the report, which means we can't close it until someone at SPD lays eyes on the guy. And as a family member, you are not allowed to work this case. It's department policy. You know this. I know you know this. Now, go do your job and let Detectives Lan and Ye do their jobs. And if you'd like to still have a job, don't fucking bust into my office like that ever again. Jiang Wenyan flushes an angry red. He clenches his hands into fists. Yes, sir, he practically spits, turning on his heel and stalking out. Does he know I'm supposed to be the department hothead? Mia Mingzhuai asks into the silence that follows. Yao covers his face with his hands, presumably at the thought of a second Mia Mingzhuai. Captain, Wang Ji says carefully, I should disclose to you that I've met Wei Ying Wuxian. Really? Yao asks, not taking his face out of his hands. Fucking fantastic. He lives in my building, and I've eaten at the cafe where he works. All of this is scrupulously true. Is he your fuck-up adopted brother, too? No. Then I don't give a shit. Nay, if you can find the brother before Jiang winds up back in my office, I'll buy you a bottle of scotch. Not much of a case, really, Ye Mingzhuai says, once they were back at their desks. Adult man goes 4 days without talking to his family. Wang Ji exhales a silent snort through his nose. Ni Mingzhuai would be tearing the city apart brick by brick if his brother hadn't been seen in that long, but he's not about to say that. Under similar circumstances, he says instead, I would be quite concerned about Si Chen. One day, Wang Ji swears to himself, he'll have his phone ready to capture the soft, soppy look that comes over his partner's face whenever the topic of Wang Ji's brother, Si Chen, comes up in conversation. And when that moment arrives, he's making it his phone's lock screen. True, Ye Mingzhuai grunts, a soft smile floating up under his mustache. He stares moonily at his computer for a moment before appearing to get a grip. I need to wrap a couple of things up this morning, he says, clearing his throat, and then we can start in on this. I'm thinking his work first, since that was the last place he was seen. Then the apartment? Nice, easy commute home for you after that, if the guy's your neighbor. A part of Wang Ji is screaming, we have to go now. We have to find him right now. But Nie Mingzhuai's request is reasonable, especially in light of the other cases they still have open. And insisting they leave immediately is exactly the kind of behavior that could get the case reassigned. If the captain, or anyone else, had any idea how Wang Ji, how he and Wei Ying... Well, the case is his now, and even if it wasn't, he'd still be looking for Wei Ying. He opens the missing persons file again. It's odd, reviewing Wei Ying's life and vital stats like this. Too impersonal and too intimate at the same time. He's had so many conversations with Wei Ying, about trivial things and serious things and everything in between. He would have said that he knew Wei Ying, really knew him, but the file is just a laundry list of things his friend has never told him about. My birthday is Halloween, he imagines Wei Ying saying. My brother's a cop. My sister lives in Medina. Quick break here for a sec. Okay, I checked with an expert. It's Medina. My sister lives in Medina. I was convicted of felony assault when I was 18 and sentenced to a year in prison, served 3 months, followed by a year of probation. Wei Ying would never say these things, of course, because that isn't how he talks. He evades. He makes jokes. He asks hypothetical questions. He says true things couched in such outrageous language that they sound false. It takes a careful ear to glean out what he's really saying, even though Wei Ying rarely outright lies. It's something Wang Ji has been getting good at. He wonders if some of the things in Wei Ying's file would have eventually come drifting out of his rambling speech, if they'd known each other for longer. He wonders if he really knows this man at all. Okay. This whole next scene is flashbacky. All italics, and I have no way to express that other than just telling you this is all a flashback. Even though the cafe is relatively close to his building, Wang Ji has never been there before. He doesn't go out to eat much, and when he does, he tends to frequent the same places. Nie Huaisang calls him a stick in the mud, but he sees nothing wrong with being a creature of habit. He is hungry, though, and work has kept him from getting in his usual grocery run this week. The cafe is a pretty standard hipster American comfort food fusion place, the type that blankets the rest of the city, and is now encroaching on the rapidly gentrifying International District as well. It's close, though, and it has decent Yelp reviews. Great sandwiches, ton of vegetarian options, at least one seriously cute waiter, if nothing else. The place is acceptable at first glance. Clean, well-lit, music playing softly in the background instead of blaring at top volume, like a lot of places. He chooses a seat, pulls a book out of his bag. Hi, how's it going? Wang Ji looks up. The waiter's about his age, tall and willowy, long hair in a messy pile on top of his head. He smiles, a natural, easy gesture, and his enormous cat-like eyes crinkle up warmly. This, then, must be the seriously cute waiter. First time in? I know I'd remember seeing you before. Nope, try that again. I know I'd remember seeing you before, the cute waiter says, his full lips curving suggestively around the words. Wang Ji is quite aware that there are many, many people in the world who can make lively banter with the waitstaff. Probably some of those people can also handle being flirted with, without it feeling like someone's dipped them in liquid nitrogen. He has no idea how those people manage it, but he's aware that they exist. Chrysanthemum tea, he says stiffly. The guy has an order pad shoved in a pocket of his apron, but he doesn't bother writing Wang Ji's tea order down. Wang Ji tries not to feel stressed out about that. Anything else? You want to see a food menu? Yes. The guy's already setting a menu down in front of him. Hey, settle down, the waiter says. Don't talk my ear off. Wang Ji is accustomed to people being uncomfortable with his taciturn nature, and he is beyond sick of people teasing him about it. But there's no malice in the waiter's remark, which is delivered with a wink and another friendly smile. Wang Ji doesn't know what to say, so he doesn't say anything. He can feel his ears growing warm. Be right back with your tea. Wang Ji peruses the menu quickly and then focuses on his book, which makes some very interesting points about the role of social media and guerrilla movements in the developing world. It's difficult to concentrate, though, since in addition to being cute, the waiter appears to be the loudest person in the world. He stacks cups with a clatter, drops a bucket of forks on the floor, and then laughs like a hyena while he's picking them up, and keeps up a more or less non-stop stream of chat to the rest of the staff, sometimes calling across half the cafe to do so. Try as he might, Wang Ji can't seem to tune it out. He's uncomfortably aware. The noise a continuing assault on his senses. It's starting to set his teeth a little on edge by the time the guy returns with his tea. Chrysanthemum tea, the waiter says brightly, setting Wang Ji's tea down with a flourish. I'd give that another minute to steep. Did you get a chance to look at the menu? Any questions I can answer? Personally, I recommend the spicy chicken grain bowl, or the ghost pepper grilled cheese. Or if you don't like spicy, the turkey avocado sandwich is pretty good. The butternut squash salad, Wang Ji says, getting the sense that if he doesn't interrupt, he'll never order. Got it. The waiter does actually write this down, for which Wang Ji is thankful. And what else? That is all. You sure? The waiter cocks a hip and looks up from his notepad. A wisp of hair has fallen down onto his face, brushing his high cheekbone. Our salads are pretty small. They're really intended to be more of a side dish than a main course. That will be fine, Wang Ji says. His uncle had always insisted that several small meals throughout the day were healthier than three big ones, and that's still how Wang Ji eats most of the time. Old habits die hard. Not a lot of protein in the butternut salad, the waiter presses, like Wang Ji's protein intake is any of his business at all. If you want, I could have them add a grilled chicken breast or some tofu or some shrimp. No. Wang Ji's voice comes out more forcefully than he intends it to. Thank you, he adds. You always eat like a rabbit? The waiter laughs. Wang Ji glowers at him. Unchastened, the waiter scrunches up his nose like a rabbit's, wiggles it a couple of times, and laughs again. I'll get that salad in for you, he says, sauntering away. Ridiculous. Wang Ji mutters, not caring if the guy hears him or not. It's completely uncalled for to comment on what he's having for lunch. Between that and the overall noise factor, he's starting to think about leaving a stingy tip. He would never actually do that. He's a scrupulous 25% tipper in just about every scenario. But thinking about it does serve to temporarily ease some of his irritation. He glares at his book in silence, not really seeing the words on the page in front of him. Why is he so bothered by this? People have been commenting on his silences and his fastidious habits all of his life. It's just background noise at this point. He should be able to let this remark roll off his back like all the rest, but something about it has gotten under his skin. His tea is delicious, which is just adding insult to injury at this point. Here you go. The waiter sets the salad down in front of him. He doesn't say anything else, but he doesn't move away either, just kind of hovers next to the table. Meng Ji looks up at him and raises an eyebrow. What now? Hey, the waiter twists his hands together nervously. His fingers are long and dexterous. His fingernails are painted in alternating red and black. I'm sorry about the whole, rabbit comment. I'm annoying. I talk too much. You should just ignore me. Everyone does, he continues in a rush. I didn't, mean anything by it. He reaches out and touches Wang Ji's shoulder. Instinctively, Wang Ji stiffens and pulls away. The waiter draws his hand back, wincing. Sorry, again, anyway, I hope you like your salad. I had to make it extra good, just for you. He smiles again, close-lipped, bright-eyed, conciliatory. Enjoy. A little stunned by the sudden outpouring of words and feelings and touching, Wang Ji can only gape at the waiter as he walks away. The waiter pauses at the counter to re-cinch his apron around his narrow waist, emphasizing his angular shoulders, the full, almost feminine curve to his hips. There's a hole in his jeans, just behind his left knee. The glimpse of skin there causes a bizarre, almost sadness to well up in Wang Ji's throat. Wang Ji scowls down at his salad. He is mercifully left alone for the rest of his meal. Wang Ji supposes that one advantage of being what he calls naturally reserved, and Ye Huaisang calls scary to everyone all the time for no reason, is that he's usually left in peace. Although peace is a relative term, since their interaction does not appear to have cowed the cute waiter into anything approaching silence. He continues his stream of chatter to his co-workers, who joke and tease him back. Meng Ji's check finally arrives. At the bottom, in the area that says, "Your server today was," the name Wei Ying is written in bold, messy Sharpie. Underneath it is a surprisingly lifelike and adorable sketch of a rabbit. Wei Ying. Scene break. Wei Ying, Meng Ji murmurs to himself, looking through the file again like he could somehow will more information out of it. He'd last seen Wei Ying on Sunday night. Wei Ying had been, well, extremely drunk, but otherwise fine. What happened between then and Monday afternoon? How do you know what's the right thing, Lan Chan? He's so deep in thought he isn't aware of Jiang's approach until the man is standing right beside his desk, looking like he's about to implode from stress. Lan, Jiang says tightly, a word about your case. He spits the word out like it tastes bad. Wang Ji gestures for him to sit in the visitor's chair next to his desk. He sets down Wei Ying's file, folds his hands, and waits. My brother, Jiang mutters. Absently, he picks up a pen off of Wang Ji's desk and starts clicking it up and down. Click, click. He's had a rough time of it. You've seen his file. Click. Wang Ji favors him with the smallest hint of a nod. Jiang scowls at the floor. Click, click, click. Look, he's a good person. He's just impulsive. Click, clickety, click. He tends to go off and do things without thinking about how they'll impact other people. Click. He drinks a lot. Clickety click. And he has a big mouth and a giant hero complex, which gets him into trouble. All of this more or less jibes with Wang Ji's experience of Wei Ying, if put more unkindly than he ever would have. Maybe Jiang is right. Maybe Wei Ying just followed a wild impulse somewhere and would be back in a few days, making fun of him for being so worried. He keeps silent, waiting to see what Jiang will say next. Riding out a pause is a surprisingly effective interrogation technique, especially with someone like Jiang. Jiang scowls again. He clicks the pen several times in rapid succession. Wang Di reflects that he could almost certainly get away with murdering someone if he really put his mind to it, but probably not if he began by stabbing the man with a pen in the middle of a police station. The thing is, Jiang finally puts the pen down. The tension drains out of him, and for the first time, Wang Ji can see the worry behind it. Jiang looks up at him, meets his eyes, looks away. Either everything's fine or something's really wrong. There's no in-between. There never is with him. He blinks rapidly a few times, suddenly looking much younger. I can't just not do anything. Wang Ji allows his attitude to defrost slightly. Despite the fact that Jiang Wenyan appears not to get his brother at all, it's clear that he cares about him, which is at least something. I understand. Yeah? Wang Ji nods. I cannot allow you to actively assist with the case, but I will keep you apprised of what we find. He jots down his cell number on a post-it, taking care to put the pen back out of Jiang's reach. Text me if you think of anything that might be helpful. He wants to say, I will find him, but that isn't the kind of thing you're supposed to say to the family in a missing persons case. He sees no reason to tell Jiang Wenyan that he knows Wei Ying personally. Jiang slides the post-it into his pocket and stands up. Thank you, he says formally. Wang Ji dismisses him with a nod. The cafe is just winding down from the breakfast rush by the time they arrive. The crowd has thinned out, but several tables still bear the remnants of breakfasts. Lipstick-stained coffee cups, abandoned newspapers. A young blonde woman with a pink streak in her hair is loading dishes into an overloaded tub. Wang Ji recognizes her as Nicole, who often works the morning shift. Hey guys, welcome in. Grab a seat anywhere, she calls as they come in. Oh, hey, she brightens, recognizing Wang Ji. Chrysanthemum tea? I can clear your usual spot if you give me a sec. He can see Niemingjue's questioning glance out of the corner of his eye, but ignores it. No. Nicole sets down her tub. Hey, she says again, lowering her voice slightly. Have you heard from Wuxian? He's not answering his phone.
That's actually what we're here to talk to you about, miss.
Niemingjue flips open his notepad and looks at her expectantly. Her eyes grow wide. She wipes her hands on her apron. Larson, she says. What's this about?
I'm Detective Nye, SPD. It sounds like you've met my partner, Detective Lan, already. Were you working here Monday afternoon, Miss Larson?
Niemingjue asks.
Yes?
Can you tell me about the last time you saw Ying Wuxianwei?
Why? She turns to Wang Ji. Is he in trouble?
He's been reported missing, Wang Ji replies, managing to keep his voice expressionless.
Holy shit! Nicole covers her mouth with her hands. I knew he hadn't been at work, but I figured he just, I don't know, got a better job or something. He's missing?
A bell dings in the back.
Order up,
someone bellows. I'll be right back, Nicole apologizes. They wait by the door while she runs some food out to one table, refreshes another table's coffee, and closes out a third table's tab. Okay, sorry about that, she says upon returning.
When was the last time you saw Wuxian? Niemingjue asks again.
On Monday, I guess about 4:30. He ducked out a little early. He was trying to catch a bus out to East Side. Nope, out to the East Side.
Did he say or do anything unusual?
No, not really. He was maybe a little quiet, but it was a busy day. I didn't talk to him much.
Can you think of any reason he might have left town suddenly? Anywhere he might have gone?
I mean, he doesn't even have a car. I guess he might have stayed at his sister's? Wang Ji shakes his head.
He never arrived there.
Wow, she says softly. That's... Wow, I'm sorry, I've no idea what could have happened. He never misses work. I know he was actually trying to pick up some extra shifts. He thinks about Wei Ying dragging himself to work with colds and the flu. Wei Ying pale and quiet with exhaustion after working back-to-back double shifts. If I lose this job, I'm so fucked, Lan Zhan. I'm so fucking fucked. She's right. Wei Ying might project the image of a total flake, but he never misses work. Something really is wrong.
Did he leave any belongings here? Niemingjue asks.
She shrugs. You could check his locker in the back. Greg, that's the GM, is back there. He can probably unlock it for you. Greg, a tired-looking white guy in his mid-40s, grumpily digs out a master key and opens Wei Ying's locker for them.
When you find Wuxian.
Nope, I'll try that again.
This is an interesting challenge.
When you find Wuxian, he pronounces it Wuxian, tell him he's fired.
The anger is so sudden and so fierce, it steals Wang Ji's breath for a moment. Greg must see something in his face because he takes a half step back. My boss is an asshole, but everyone's boss is an asshole, and I need the job.
Turning his back on the man, Wang Ji slips on a pair of gloves and bends to inspect the contents of the locker. Behind him, he can hear Nie Mingjue starting to run through the same questions they'd asked Nicole, but Wang Ji is already tuning them both out.
Okay, quick reader's break. Just want to clarify that when I keep talking like Wei Wuxian, it's italics. So it's the voice of Wei Wuxian coming to Lan Wangji's thoughts, right? This is his remembrances. I hope that I'm able to make it clear enough that that's when Wei Wuxian is talking and not some random person that is there.
Okay.
There isn't much in there. A scattering of crumpled receipts and napkins. A discarded bus pass. A battered notebook filled with sketches. Scribbled bits of computer code and unintelligible notes, which Wang Ji slides into an evidence bag to look through in more detail later. He pulls out a wadded-up, tattered black hoodie, and the scent of Wei Ying's skin rises up around him, making his stomach clench with fear and longing. He has to stop and hang on to himself, just to keep from burying his face in it. In the hoodie's left pocket, Wang Ji finds an envelope, just a standard office-type envelope, folded in half. The letterhead is from Nightless City, a club down in Belltown. Scrawled across the front is the message, XOXOXY, and a smiley face. It's empty. He slides that into an evidence bag as well. He straightens up just as Nie Mingjue is suggesting in his best casual threatening voice that firing someone while they're the subject of an active missing persons investigation is perhaps not the best look. We're done here. Wang Ji says, not even bothering to look at Greg again as he walks out the door. Back to flashback time. He's finishing up some work before bed when he sees something moving on the building opposite He sees something moving on the building opposite his window. His and Xichen's apartment is in a U-shaped building, surrounding a somewhat dilapidated courtyard area on three sides, which means he has an uninspiring view of his neighbor's windows from his home office. At first he thinks it's just a shadow, but then he sees it's a person climbing out of a third-story window and pulling themselves up onto the roof. A break-in? No, the person's not moving with any kind of urgency, and once they haul themselves onto the roof, they just sit there, legs dangling off the edge. Great, he thinks, already getting up from his chair. One of his neighbors has decided to risk their neck on a lark, and now they're going to plummet to their death, and he's going to have to be the first responder on the scene. Xichen has a master key to the building, because he is a genuinely nice and good and decent person, and people take advantage of that, which in this case means that the building's property manager asks him to help out with things from time to time. Wang Ji snags the key from the bowl in the entryway and stomps upstairs to let himself onto the roof. Perched there like a vampire bat, kicking his feet and drinking from a bottle of cheap whiskey, is the same guy from the cafe earlier that day. Because, of course, it is.
You're not supposed to be up here,
Wang Ji says in as stern a voice as he can manage. The guy from the cafe, Wei Ying, Wang Ji's traitorous brain helpfully supplies, glances over his shoulder with a sardonic look. Whatever retort he'd been about to make dies on his lips when he sees Wang Ji, though. His face brightens. He looks surprised, and Wang Ji thinks pleased to see him. Oh, he says, it's you, hey. He waves and laughs a little dorkily. What are you doing up here? Did you hippity-hop-hop on up? He wiggles his nose in another rabbit impression. Wang Ji gingerly sits down near him, close enough that he could theoretically reach out and grab the guy if he starts to topple over the edge.
Do you live here? Wei Ying asks.
Wang Ji nods. Well, Wei Ying takes a sip from his bottle of whiskey. Small world. Small town, anyway. In his time with Seattle PD, Wang Ji has dealt with a lot of drunk people. Wei Ying's tone and posture are relaxed, his voice smooth and a little slow, but his eyes are bright and focused. Wang Ji cautiously revises the rooftop fall threat assessment down a level. "You're not supposed to be up here," he says again. Wei Ying takes another long pull from his bottle, shadows from the streetlight collecting at the base of his throat. "Says who?" "The law, among other things." "Oh, the law," Wei Ying smirks. He looks around them with exaggeratedly wide eyes. "I don't see any cops up here, do you?" Wang Ji stares down at the pebbled surface of the roof, feeling stiff and awkward. "Wait." Wei Ying sits up, peering into his face. "Oh my god, you're a cop, aren't you?" He pushes Wang Ji playfully on the shoulder. "Aren't you?" Embarrassment creeping up the back of his neck, Wang Ji pulls out his badge and hands it to Wei Ying. "Oh my god, you are! You're a cop!" Wei Ying flops onto his back and laughs uproariously up at the sky. "Oh my god, of course you are! That is just..." He laughs again, a bright, vibrant sound. "That is just so my life, I can't even describe to you. Well..." He reads Wang Ji's badge aloud. "Well, Detective Jun..." Oh, that's hard for me doing it out of order for some reason. "Jun Wang Ji Lan. Lan Jun, are you going to arrest me?" He gives a coquettish flutter of his long eyelashes. Wang Ji doesn't answer, just gently prizes his badge from Wei Ying's warm fingers and tucks it back into his pocket. He's oddly unsurprised that this ridiculous man has immediately started calling him by his familiar name, just like he hadn't been surprised that Wei Ying had introduced himself that way either. It seems fitting, somehow. Wei Ying props himself up on one elbow and considers him. "Why are you up here then, Lan Zhan, if it's so illegal?" He pouts a little around the word illegal to show how ridiculous he finds it. "It would be unfortunate," Wang Ji says, "if you fell." "But I'm not going to fall," Wei Ying scoffs. "But it's nice of you to be concerned." He tips the bottle back up to his mouth. A drop of liquor runs down his chin and along the line of his jaw. Wang Ji has to look away. "I only come up here to give my roommate some space," Wei Ying says. "Really, if you think about it, it's very civic-minded of me. I'm making life in this building more harmonious." "There are other places to drink," Wang Ji points out. "I like drinking up here. Oh, sorry, do you want some?" Wei Ying holds out the bottle. Wang Ji doesn't answer. He stares out over the courtyard instead. He can hear distant music from the bars a couple of blocks over. Beside him, Wei Ying sits up. He scoots closer, his lean thigh brushing against Wang Ji's knee. He's radiating warmth. He smells like whiskey and fried food. He leans in to wave the bottle in front of Wang Ji's face. "Lan Zhan, do you want some?" "No." Wang Ji automatically pulls away from the touch. "More for me, then." Wei Ying takes another swig. He's still close enough that Wang Ji can feel the heat of him. It's the kind of thing that ordinarily makes Wang Ji uncomfortable, having another person in his space like this. He's not comfortable, exactly, but he's closer to it than he usually gets with someone he's just met. Wei Ying is looking at him. Wang Ji can feel the touch of his frank gaze. "You don't like to be touched." It's not a question, so Wang Ji feels no need to answer. "And you don't drink?" Wang Ji turns to look at him, glances down at the bottle in his hand. "No." "And all you eat is rabbit food." Wei Ying laughs that dorky laugh, and Wang Ji feels that odd, not quite sad feeling surging up in his chest again. "I was raised in a very strict household." "Yeah, me too." He waits for Wang Ji to reply, and when no reply is forthcoming, he sighs. "Seemed like I was always in trouble for something, even when I tried to behave. After a while, I just..." He gestures expansively with his whiskey bottle. "Stop trying." "I..." Wang Ji isn't sure how to put what he means into words. "I did not." "Stop trying?" "Well?" Wei Ying's voice is warm and soft. "That's hard, too." Wang Ji looks away again. Luncheon, luncheon, Wei Ying sighs, reclining back down on one elbow. I am afraid I'm going to be a terrible influence on you. I'm always touching people, and drinking, and eating garbage food at all hours of the night. It's going to be very rough for you, being friends with me. He prods Wang Ji's knee with his shoe. We are friends now, right? Or don't you do that either? I have friends, Wang Ji says with as much dignity as he can manage. Of course you do, Wei Ying says with a grin. Just look at you. He prods Wang Ji's knee again, then sits up with a guilty expression. Luncheon, I've already touched you again. I'm sorry, I swear I didn't mean it. You see, I'm totally annoying. You should just tell me to piss off when I'm being annoying. Wang Ji is having trouble following what he means, but he's not annoyed. You are not annoying me. Wei Ying tips his head back and winks at him. Just wait. End of chapter. Authors and notes. The Fandom Trumps Hate auction for this fic raised money for Life After Hate, a wonderful organization that is, in their own words, committed to helping people leave the violent far right to connect with humanity and lead compassionate lives. Thanks to Duessa and Ericacia, one of those two, maybe, for beta work and general cheering along. Right now, this fic is looking like it's going to be about 9 chapters, although it may end up being 10. Reader's note, it's 10. I'm going to try to keep to a chapter a week posting schedule, but what with Wave's hands, we'll see how that goes. Let me know what you think in the comments. Coming soon in chapter 2, a conversation with Wei Ying's roommate, dinner at the Lens, a rooftop flute concert. Okay, so I will be posting daily. I'm not entirely sure if I'll be posting chapters daily yet, or if it'll be chunks of some chapters daily, but it'll definitely be daily posting. And I'm really excited to do this, like, dual learning more about their relationship in the past and what's happening with Wei Ying now, because he's missing. And Wang Ji is just having to try not to smell his sweater that he found in his work locker. Oh, he's down so bad already, which I love. I love so much. Thanks to Seattle Steph for giving me some Seattle tips in the live chat. That was extremely helpful. I'm going to definitely be hitting you up for more should there be any other pronunciations I'm not sure about. And thanks to folks for listening. Please, if you are listening either live chat or later, please go give comments and kudos to the author, Giraffiter. And I will talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.